This is Douglas Terrier. He's with NASA. He's got a new job.
Yeah, I'm the Chief Technology Officer at NASA in Washington, D.C., and it's the best job in the world, and I'm really glad to be here with you guys tonight.
So what is it that you order people to do? Are you the last stamp on the project?
Well, as you might know, we have the awesome responsibility of investing the taxpayers' $20 billion that NASA has at its disposal, and I help with the leadership team in trying to ensure that we're investing in the future technologies that will get us further into space, and just as importantly, return more value to aviation and all kinds of industries here on Earth.
How much again?
It's a little over $19 billion is what NASA's budget from the federal government.
Do you think that's enough?
No.
I couldn't quite hear you.
No.
Vote. Okay, now we have a few things to celebrate, like the 100th anniversary of Langley. Of course, it wasn't called NASA then, but everybody in the audience knows that. It is amazing that you've been around that long doing wonderful things for everything, including general aviation, which a lot of people don't know. You stop your typical person, they think that NASA invented Velcro and does nothing but drink Tang, right? So it's amazing what you guys have done in the past.
It really is. We've had really an unbroken line of discovery and innovation for well over 100 years, starting with NACA, the NACA, National Advisory Committee on Aeronautics, which was founded in way back in the first part of the last century. And as you said, those have been incredible contributions that have helped anybody out here who is involved in aviation knows how much NASA has contributed. And our challenge that we'll talk about tonight is how we're going to continue that line of unbroken innovation into the next century ahead of us.
So it's safe to say you're going to talk about what's coming around the corner.
Correct.
This is a first for us. It may be a first for them. 4 NASA Center kids that talk via telecom, probably, are on one stage together. Yeah. So, again, you're in for one whale of a night. Dennis Terrier.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks very much. So welcome, everybody. It's really my pleasure, my honor to be here. So I'm an aviation head. I fly a Grumman Cheetah. If there's any other Grumman folks out in the audience, yes. And I've been here decades, so this is homecoming for me. It's one of my more fun work trips. It's not exactly work, but don't tell anybody that's paying for this. Welcome, everybody. Thank you, Steve. Thank you to the EAA for having NASA as part of this. We are really delighted to share with you what NASA is doing on your behalf in space exploration, and particularly in aeronautics and in aviation. You may be aware that the first A in NASA, which sometimes people are not paying attention to, is aeronautics, National Aeronautics and Space Administration. And that is, NASA's embedded in the fabric of aviation through and through, especially in general aviation. Some of the things that you may be familiar with include winglets, de-icing systems, NACA inlets that we all use. Most of us who have built airplanes have gone to the NACA airfoil catalog. We have digital fly-by-wire system, airbag systems, stall spin recovery systems like are installed on the Cirrus and other aircraft increasingly these days. There's just a host of technologies through and through, all of which are enabled by NACA's work in the last century, NASA's work today. And the things like synthetic vision system, GPS navigation, and so on, of course, are a product of our space assets that allow us to do that kind of work. That's why we like to say NASA is with you when you fly. Tonight, we'll be hearing about the ways that we're going to be continuing that unbroken line of innovation and discovery and what we're going to be doing for you in the decades ahead. There are some incredibly exciting technologies that we're on the cusp of developing and testing and releasing. We're going to have a panel of folks discuss that with you tonight. And with time permitting, we'll have some time at the end for questions. Right now, we're going to talk a little bit about maybe 3 areas we want to talk about tonight. First of all is what we're doing to make our airspace ready for we're going to have a whole host of uncrewed air systems coming in the future. Some people call them drones. There's also the probability of personal air vehicles that are autonomous that will be entering the airspace. And we're doing a lot of work to ensure that automated airspace is, that next-gen airspace is ready for that. We'll hear about that. We'll hear about a lot of work that's going on with our X-planes. For the first time in decades, NASA is flying a series of X-demonstrator airplanes. We have a couple that we'll talk about tonight, one of them being the work that's going on with low boom supersonic transports that'll help to bring back the age of supersonic transportation over land. The other is an explain for ultra-efficient subsonic airplanes and a lot of electrified propulsion involved in that. So you'll get to hear all about that tonight from our panel, who are the experts in the area. And we like to call this effort New Aviation Horizons, and we are ready for flight now. So let's welcome our panelists onto the stage, and I'll come on out. We've got a really stellar panel in store for you tonight. These are some of the leaders and stellar innovators and inventors, scientists, researchers, and astronaut of NASA. So I could we are very, very happy tonight, very lucky to have such distinguished panelists with us. Everybody on this stage has spent decades making contributions as engineers and researchers, scientists, and even an astronaut in the exciting discoveries that we've had in the last decades in space and particularly in aviation. And today, these folks are now serving as leaders, senior leaders in the agency, leading the four powerhouse aero research centers across the nation at NASA Langley, NASA Ames, Glenn, and the Dryden Flight, or Armstrong Flight Research Center, formerly known as Dryden. Let me go, I'll just quickly touch on these resumes because we'd be here all night if I kind of went through these guys' bio. They're pretty impressive. First, let me introduce Dr. Thomas Edwards. He's a deputy director of the NASA Ames Research Center in Silicon Valley out in California. Tom began his career with NASA in 1983 and has served in a variety of research and management assignments. At NASA Ames is responsible for research in aviation operations, flight vehicle technology and design, and fundamental aerodynamics. Tom's a graduate of Princeton University with a doctoral degree in aeronautics and astronautics from Stanford University. Next we have Mr. David McBride. Dave is the director of NASA's Armstrong Flight Research Facility at Edwards, California, where he oversees all aspects of management, strategy, and operations at Armstrong. NASA Armstrong supports the agency providing flight research and development for aeronautics, science, astrophysics, and earth science, as well as human spaceflight, space technology efforts. David began his career as a co-op education student in 1982, specialized in digital flight control systems. He's got engineering degrees and an MBA from the University of New Mexico. Next is Dr. Janet Cavandi. Dr. Cavandi serves as director of NASA's John Glenn Research Center in Cleveland, Ohio. Glenn supports the nation's aeronautics, space propulsion, power, space comm, communications, and extreme material development programs, among others. Janet is a veteran astronaut, starting astronaut training in the class of 94, and has logged more than 33 days in space, traveling more than 13 million miles in space. She has served on missions to the International Space Station and, in fact, visited the Russian space station Mir. Finally, I introduce Dr. Thank you. And our fourth panelist is Dr. Dave Bowles, director of NASA Langley's Research Center, where he's worked for 37 years, Dave.
Yes, long time.
Dave started his career as an advanced aerospace materials researcher. He's published many papers on the subject. He's led the Space Operations Directorate at Langley, and he's a native Virginian. Dave is a Hokie through and through.
Yes.
Having earned bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in engineering from Virginia Tech. Please help me welcome our panelists again. So I mentioned we're going to talk about three basic areas tonight. There are many more we could talk about. We're going to focus on three. The first one is ultra-efficient subsonic aircraft that are going to dramatically improve the performance of subsonic aircraft. And I think this is one area that has immediate impact on general aviation and the world most of us here are interested in. So right now, let's hear more about ultra-efficient subsonic X-planes. All right, so let's turn it over to the panelists, and I'm going to just kind of hand it off to you guys. Maybe each of us could tell us a little bit more about what your center is doing, a couple things, particularly in the area of ultra-efficient subsonic transports, and what's going on at Ames. We'll start with you, Tom.
Okay, sure. And it's great to see such a great crowd out here. So thanks for coming to hear about this. Ultra-efficient aircraft, there's a push to get them more and more integrated. Every system that supports the aircraft's flight has to work in harmony with every other system. That means that things get closer and closer together, and we have to understand the interactions. And so at Ames, we've done extensive wind tunnel testing on new concepts to reduce the size of the vertical tail on a lot of aircraft. It's a major source of weight. And using a novel fluidic actuator that Boeing developed, we tested and showed that significant reductions in the size of the vertical tail can be accomplished. And we've also looked at novel ways to place engines near the fuselage of aircraft so that that distorted flow that is near the fuselage can be accepted by the engine and still produce reliable thrust. All of these require intensive computational skills integrated together with the wind tunnels that we have at Ames, and those are the things that we've been doing.
Great. Thanks, Tom.